20 years ago, one of the greatest Christmas movies, if not one of the greatest movies of all time, was released into theaters and quickly found its way into the hearts of millions of people around the world, including mine. Many of you maybe have a Christmas tradition of watching this movie multiple times like we do. And of course, I am talking about Elf. Yes, Elf. And thank you. Yeah, some of you agree with me. Some of you are like, I don't know. It was okay. To get us in the Christmas spirit and to kind of pull us into this theme, I thought that I would have some fun to get today. Thank you very much. So first, I want to talk about these for a little bit. I'm not really a croc guy. My girls are, but this is one of the greatest Christmas presents I have ever received. We have a women's Bible study that meets on Monday mornings, and they got together and got these for me as a gift. And when they gave it to me, they said, "Sean, we dare you on the movie when the week that you use Elf to share the Christmas story, we dare you to wear those." Little did they know, I would have done it even without a dare. And so I'm going to kick these off here and throw on my comfy Elf Crocs. And then, of course, I mean, it wouldn't be complete without the jacket. Thank you, Carrie. I will give you that and throw this on this morning. And here we go. Yeah, thank you. Someone at the 8 o'clock service said, "I'm just glad that you didn't wear the tights." And aren't we all? I told them, yeah, it'd be funny if I had like a pair of, you know, candy striped pants and it's just like whoosh. And so, you know. Another way that you can get into the Christmas spirit this year, hopefully, you know, you're finding yourself in that as you worship with us here at Sherwood Oaks and get involved in the different celebrations that we have going on. Of course, we'll have our Christmas Eve services coming up starting on Thursday and then three on Sunday. But every year, our video director, Tim Bedwell, puts together a map of some of the best Christmas lights around town and then packages it into a website and gives it to us as a gift. And so, Caden, leave this up for just a little bit as we get out our phones. And if you want a copy of that map, you can scan that QR code. It'll take you to the website. And he always does a really good job curating this list. I know that you will enjoy it. Now, if you have never seen the movie Elf, or maybe it has been a while, it is about a human named Buddy who is raised by elves in the North Pole. When he was a baby, he crawled into Santa's bag when Santa was there at his orphanage where he was raised. And when he found his way at the North Pole, they didn't quite know what to do until Papa Elf stepped up and graciously said, "I will raise him as my own." But as Buddy grew up, he quickly realized that he was special. And one day he overheard a conversation and he learned that he was not a real elf, and it rocked his world. And Santa had to break the news to him that no, in fact, Buddy, you are not an elf. You've been able to grow a beard since sixth grade. That his dad, Walter Hobbs, lives in New York City and was on the naughty list. And that just devastated Buddy. And so Buddy goes on an adventure to reconnect with his dad and bring the joy of Christmas back into his life. And of course, he does it by following the code of the elves. Treat every day like Christmas. There's room for everyone on the nice list. And then, of course, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is to sing loud for all to hear. And after growing up in the North Pole, Buddy finds himself in New York City, and the magic of it all is almost too much for him to bear. He can hardly contain himself. Let's check out. I love it. Now, if that clip doesn't make you smile, we can be like brothers and sisters in Christ, but I don't know that we could be friends. I love that. And throughout the movie, Buddy's joy is contrasted to the stress that everyone else is feeling in their life. Stress that is just mounting and it's taking away their joy. And so Buddy wants to come back and bring joy back into their life. And so you have his dad, Walter, who is under pressure and stress to publish a best-selling children's book or he's going to lose his job. You have Jovi, who's just trying to make it through the holidays. You have his half-brother, Michael, who's tired of his dad being such a workaholic. His stepmom, Emily, who is trying to pull the family together and make room for Buddy in it. And of course, you have the mailroom guy who's just trying to figure out his purpose in life and hoping for someone to listen to all of his good ideas. Buddy brings a new sense of joy and wonder into their lives. And then when Buddy starts feeling the stress of life for the very first time, stress of the relationship with his dad not panning out the way that he thought that it was going to, stress of nobody experiencing the joy of Christmas anymore. When Buddy starts feeling stress in his life, all of these people that he brought joy come back to help Buddy find his joy again too. And when Buddy left the utopia of the North Pole and he stepped into the real world, he discovered what maybe many of us have discovered as we've walked through this life. It is hard to be joyful when our life is filled with stress. It is hard to be joyful while our life is filled with so much stress. But here's what I want us to know this morning. It is hard, but it's not impossible. It is hard, but it is not impossible to experience joy even in the stressful circumstances of your life. And I think that the Christmas story really helps us see that from a unique perspective, the perspective of Mary. If you have a Bible or a Bible app that you like to use, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 46. That's going to be our text for today, Luke 1, 46. Now, oftentimes the songs that we sing and the stories we tell around this time of year are about, you know, silent nights and peace and goodwill to all people. It's about being merry and bright. But it was a pretty stressful time in the Jewish culture when Jesus was born. He wasn't born into the utopia of the North Pole that Buddy grew up in. He was born into our world, the real world in which we live that is oftentimes filled with a lot of stress and a lot of chaos. And the Jewish culture at this time was no different. They were under Roman rule. They were governed by an evil man named Herod. They were being taxed to the point of oppression. There was stress everywhere they went. And then you have Mary, the mother of Jesus. God approaches her through an angel and says, Mary, you're going to give birth to the Savior of the world. And through faith and surrender, Mary says, okay, I'm in. And what she discovers is that even when you walk by faith, it doesn't mean that it's going to be an easy journey. There's going to be bumps along the road. Mary walked by faith and it led her into some hard and painful times. Mary became an unwed pregnant teenager. She had to explain it to her fiancé, Joseph. Like, listen, I know it's not what it seems. She had to explain it to her parents. I imagine as Mary walked through her hometown and then even as she went and stayed with Elizabeth, she probably felt the judgmental glances that came her way. It all had to be incredibly stressful on this young woman. And even though she experienced stress, and even though when she agreed to carry the Savior of the world, and she knew that this was going to come, Mary still said yes. And listen to this song that she sings in Luke 1, starting in verse 46. Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." This passage is the beginning of what is known as the Magnificat. It's a word that literally means shouting out the greatness of God. And that's what Mary is doing all throughout this song. She is shouting out the greatness of God's salvation. She is shouting out the greatness of God's faithfulness and his mercy and his love. And she says in this song that God has been mindful of her humble state. And that doesn't mean that God just noticed her humility, although he did. That was one of the things that drew her to this assignment. Mary was humble, but that's not what this means. The humble state probably refers mostly to Mary's social position. Mary was a nobody from nowhere. She grew up, I imagine, facing hardships and difficulties in life. She grew up in the Israel equivalent of the wrong side of the tracks in Nazareth, a place that everyone despised, including her own people. And I don't want us to miss this, that despite her circumstances and what her life has been like, despite all of the hardships that she had experienced and that were ahead for Mary, look at what she says again in verse 46. She says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Despite her circumstances, Mary had a deep-seated joy in her heart. And it's because her joy was not found in what was happening around her. Her joy was found by what was in her. Did you notice that? Let's put up that last part again. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And I think that Mary's responses to her circumstances teaches us something that is so important when it comes to living a joy-filled life, something that I want to grasp a hold of even more in my life. And it's this: life does not have to be perfect to be joyful. Maybe you just need to hear that this morning. You walked in here today and you feel like your life is far from perfect, and you're wondering, where is the joy that we talk about and we sing about at this time of year? Life does not have to be perfect to be joyful. I'm telling you, I see heads nodding even as I say that. There are people all around this room this morning that can empathize with you. They've been there. They know how to walk through difficult circumstances and still have joy in their hearts because they have found this to be true. It does not have to be perfect to be joyful. Even if you don't feel happy, you can still feel joy. Oftentimes, I think that we use these two words as synonyms, and they're not. Joy and happiness are two very different things, and because they come from two very different sources. Joy is external. Or happiness is external, excuse me. Happiness hinges on what happens in your life. If things are merry and bright, then you feel happy. You're happy because you got that gift that you were really hoping for. You're happy because that certain somebody is going to be at Christmas this year, and it's been years since they've been able to be home, and you're so excited about it. You're happy because things are working out in your life right now. And listen, there is nothing wrong with being happy. It's a good thing. We just need to know that it is a fleeting thing. Happiness is incredibly volatile. We can have happiness one minute and then something happens to us and it's gone the next. Happiness is temporary because it depends on what happens to us in our lives. It is external. Joy, on the other hand, is internal. And I believe that joy has the ability to transcend the external circumstances in your life. In other words, no matter what happens to you on the outside, it's not going to affect the joy that is deeply residing in you. you can still find joy because joy transcends the external circumstances of your life. And as a pastor, over the years, I have walked with a lot of people through some of life's most difficult and painful moments. I've sat with people whose bodies were riddled, filled with cancer. There was nothing that could be done. They knew that they had months, weeks, some even days to live. I've sat with parents as they process the death of a child. I've walked with spouses who have lost the person that they just dreamed of growing old with. I've sat with people who have been betrayed and hurt and rejected. And there have been times where I have left hospital rooms or homes and I've gone into my car and I have wept over the brokenness that people feel in life. And what always catches me by surprise and that I look at and I say, man, I hope that I have this kind of faith when and if I go through something like that. What always catches me by surprise is when someone in that situation looks up at me and they have a tear in their eye, but a smile on their face. A tear in their eye that represents the hurt and the pain that they are experiencing and walking with in this life, but a smile on their face that is representative and just and gives away the deep-seated joy that is in their heart. Joy that comes from knowing the Lord and that cannot be taken away by circumstances. How is it possible? It was possible because happiness depends on our flesh, but joy is from the Spirit of the living God living inside of us. It is a gift. It is a fruit that grows in our lives. And the Apostle Paul puts it like this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oftentimes we read that list as a list of qualities that we need to grow in, but instead that is a list of things that grow in us through the Spirit of God. When we walk in the Spirit and we pursue more of God in our lives, these qualities grow and bear fruit in us. And so joy, listen, joy is not something that we work for. Joy is something that resides in us because of the Spirit of God that resides in us. Joy is something that cannot be taken away because nothing in this world can take the Spirit of God away from us. So if you want to move from just experiencing happiness, which fluctuates up and down based on what happens to you, if you want to move from that to experiencing joy in your life, you have to move from being controlled by the flesh, being controlled by its desires, maybe repent, turn from those things, and walk in the Spirit, walk with the Lord, allowing the Spirit to live and move inside of you and produce that fruit of his love and his joy in your life. If you want to experience the joy of the Lord, you have to be willing to die to yourself and follow him. And out of that surrender and trust, you will experience a joy that cannot be taken away. The circumstances in Mary's life were far from perfect. And yet she was so in tune with God that she was able to find joy even in the midst of the stress. And I love what she says in verse 49. She says, "For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Your life does not have to be perfect to be joyful. As you continue to walk closer and closer with God, being led by the Holy Spirit in your life, even when things aren't like you want them to be, even when life catches you by surprise and knocks you off of your feet, even when your circumstances are difficult and stressful, with the Lord living in you, you are able to say, "My soul magnifies and glorifies the Lord. The Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name." And really, that's what it all comes down to, the name of Jesus. Joy comes from knowing Jesus. That's it. Joy is all about who you know. Let's check out one more clip from Elf. The workers in the North Pole, they weren't as experiencing a whole lot of joy or happiness in their life. They were stressed out by the season, by the shoppers, all of the work that they had to do. It was wearing them out, and they were just trying to make it through the season. And to them, Santa was just another worker who probably didn't want to be there just like them. They didn't have a good Santa to come to visit them. But Buddy, on the other hand, like Buddy knew him. Buddy knew him, and it brought joy in his life, at least until he discovered that it wasn't the real Santa. Instead, it was a fake, and he smelled like beef and cheese, and he sat on a throne of lies. Somebody this morning gave our family a little gift basket that was elf themed. They knew that this was coming. And so it had, candy and candy corn and candy canes and even some spaghetti and spaghetti sauce. And it even had a shirt that said, "You sit on a throne of lies." And I thought, I'm going to put that shirt on. And I thought, well, maybe that wouldn't be good. I'm preaching the truth, but my shirt says I'm sitting on a throne of lies. I'll just stick with what I came to dance with. And so the point of all this is, if you are looking for more joy in your life, it all comes down to who you know. It comes down to who you know. And joy comes from knowing Jesus. No matter what your circumstances are, no matter how stressed out you feel, getting to know Jesus more through his word, getting to know Jesus more as you follow his commands, as you surrender more of your life to him, as you walk in the Spirit and love others the way that Jesus did, getting to know Jesus will bring more joy into your life. This week, we are going to bump into people all over the place who are wondering how to find joy this week because they're not feeling it. We're going to run into people who are living maxed out lives, maxed out schedules, maxed out credit cards. They're just trying to make it through the holidays and hope that next year is going to be better. And if they look at you and they're like, "Why are you smiling?" I'm like, "Well, because smiling's my favorite." "But why? Like, why are you so happy? Why do you have so much joy?" You can just say, "Because I know him. I know Jesus." You might be surrounded by people at work who are stressed out. Maybe your boss is a workaholic and pushing everyone to meet those year-end goals. Maybe you have a coworker who makes everything about them and everyone else miserable. You can walk with joy, not because of your circumstances, but because you know him. When you're with your family and it can get a little cray cray, as the kids say, you can have joy because you know him. When you've been hurt by someone, when you've been betrayed, Maybe you are dreading this week because you know that you're going to be in the same room with that person, and maybe they're oblivious to the ways that they've hurt you, and maybe they just don't even care. And you don't have to let them steal your joy, because your joy is in the Lord. You can have joy. Why? Because you know him. If the stress of holidays or work or family has been too much for you, and maybe you've fallen into some old patterns that you thought that you had moved away from in your life, you can find forgiveness. You can find grace. You can recapture that joy in your life. Why? Because you know him. And here's the beautiful part of the gospel, and I think of the birth story of Jesus. Not only can you know him, but our God knows you. And he loves you. He knows what it is like to experience the stress that you have experienced. He knows what it is like to walk through some of the difficult situations that you have walked through. He knows you and he loves you. He is Emmanuel, God with us, God with you. Jesus was born to make a way for us to be forgiven, a way for us to be reconciled back to God. He knew us. He knew our sin, and yet he still loved us. God showed us his love, Paul says in Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He knows you, and he loves you. And he made a way for you to be in relationship with him. Because Jesus went to the cross and paid the price for our sin, he has made a way for us to be reconciled with God. And the Apostle Paul says in Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's everyone, including you. You can walk out of here today saying, I know him, and he knows me, and he loves me. And I'm telling you, that truth can bring joy in your life no matter what circumstances you are walking through today. Do you know him? Jesus, thank you for taking on flesh, being born into this world, experiencing everything that we have experienced, showing us that we can live in an imperfect world where imperfect things happen to us just like they happen to you, and yet still find joy. And thank you that not only did you model that and show us that in the way that you lived and loved, but that you have also given us your Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, that grows the fruit of joy in our life too. And so Father, I don't know what people are going through today. You do. I don't know, maybe there's somebody who was drawn here this morning because of something that's in their life and they're looking for hope, they're looking for peace, they're looking for joy. God, what they're looking for is you. And so would you meet them here in this moment and show them that in you is a deep residing joy that can never be taken away. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message from Sherwood Oaks Christian Church. Did you know you can watch all of our video content, both current and past, on our YouTube channel? Visit youtube.com/Sherwood Oaks to watch messages, series, and complete worship services.